The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are loaded up this morning.
Can you hear me now?
We've got RG3 and MT1. I don't know.
Can you hear me now?
It is 2-22-22. That's supposed to be a lucky day, so we hope everyone, I was about to say, gets lucky today.
Can you hear me now?
The size discrepancy on the two sides of this table is quite remarkable.
None of this means nothing.
This is how I make my living. I talk to people this size.
We need Vince Carter back in the slam dunk contest.
I am as unsure about Aaron Rodgers' future as he's been about all of his fiancées. I'm done.
Oh. Miles Garrett looks like the Incredible Hulk and the Velociraptor had a baby.
That's well played.
It's time to walk through hell with gasoline draws on.
There's a lot of cheese on that taco.
Can I interest you in a Punch of Karma cleanse? Yes or no?
Greeny, let me tell you what I'm not going to do.
What
is this Punch of Karma cleanse?
It's healing. It's cleansing.
Oh, no, no, no.
In the opinion of this panel, that's a lot of dumps. I didn't have a nice way of saying that.
I understand you need to take extreme steps to cleanse yourself of the sting of losing to Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs twice in 3 years.
You understand why Aaron Rodgers needs to cleanse? He's full of it.
That is the perfect way to put the exclamation point on the conversation. A fun week it's been here, and we are so grateful every time you choose to get up with us. We come to you live from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. I'm all by myself, but by no means alone. The crew is standing by ready to go, and it is time to get up for hour number two, because time is ticking away in Green Bay. And if you think that doesn't matter, we will tell you why you're wrong right off the top. Meanwhile, hold on a minute. Did you see what Russell Wilson did on Twitter? Does this mean he's leaving Seattle? You need to see it. We will have the very latest. Plus, it is now or never for LeBron's Lakers. Can the Kings still save the season in L.A.? We'll get answers to all those questions as we get up with you for this hour, starting right now with the dunk of the night. Better than anything we saw on Saturday night. How about Jason Tatum takes the feed? Oh, and he throws it down on Andre Drummond and company. So nice. You need to see it twice. Celtics, a big win over the Nets. They win by 23 points. And here's Brooklyn coach Steve Nash, who is stressing urgency for his team after yet another loss.
We know there's urgency. We know that we're not going to have a half a season to kind of figure this thing out. We're going to be up against the clock. And our guys, like I said, they've been great because, you know, there's a lot of pressure and circumstances that make it difficult, you know, as you're dropping in the standings, but their spirit has been outstanding. So that's the spirit, I think, of taking it day by day, game by game, trying to improve. And at the same time, we recognize the situation we're in.
The situation they're in is one that no team has ever been in before. Now, this is their next seven games, all of them against East teams that are currently in the playoffs. Our analytics don't favor them to win any. Five of the seven are on the road, which in this case is a good thing because it means Kyrie will be able to play. And I've got Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe with us today. And I want to sort of repeat what I said. No team has ever been in the situation the Nets are in. There's never been a team that had lost 13 out of 15, was two games over 500 at this stage of the season and eighth in the standings. And a legitimate question is, can they win the championship? But it is legitimate because of the circumstances here. So, Kendrick, can this team, when they get everybody together, and we know who everybody is, can they still win the championship?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
No, Greeny. No, look, the playoffs started yesterday. The playoffs started last night. And watching Steve Nash and listening to his interview last night, he knows they have doubt, and they should have doubt. Look, the Eastern Conference is really, really strong. I could name five or six teams right now that I feel like if the Brooklyn Nets was healthy, that they wouldn't beat. But here's the thing. They have to make the playoffs. They have to make the playoffs. Right now, they're in the play-in tournament. We don't know when Kevin Durant is going to be back. We haven't seen Ben Simmons play in 6 or 7 months. We don't know if Kyrie is going to be full-time yet. They haven't made that decision for the vaccine mandate. And then on top of that, look at those teams, the Raptors, the Hornets, the Hawks. Do you really want a chance going into having to play one of those three teams in the play-in tournament to get into the playoffs? Like, anything could happen. We just don't know. So, no, full strength right now, I'm not picking the Nets as a favorite to win the title at all.
It's impossible to argue with anything you said. And yet, Zach, if you put together a healthy Kevin Durant, a Kyrie Irving who might be able – let's live in a world where he can play all of the games by the time we get to April and May. Again, as Perk just said, we don't know what that's going to look like then. And Ben Simmons, having had whatever it is, 6 weeks to sort of figure out exactly how to play with those guys and what his role is. I can't sit here and say it's impossible to see them beating all of those teams. I agree. They could lose to any of them, but I can't say it's impossible they could beat them all. What do you think, Zach?
Well, if that's the standard, I mean, of course it's not impossible. The talent is the talent. Kevin Durant might be the best player in the NBA. Ben Simmons will help them right away. But they may be under 500 by the time those guys play, by the time that scenario outlined comes true. And it just comes to the point where, yeah, it might not be impossible, but if you're trying to do this from the eighth or ninth spot with a team that has, let's say, 10 games to actually gel together, a team that is Joe Harris going to play, or is he not going to play in addition to the three stars? You're just, the obstacles are so tough from day one. You've got to get out of the play-in, and then you might have to run a gauntlet like Milwaukee, Miami, Philadelphia or something like that, let alone whoever comes out of the West. It just becomes too much. So I think the odds are so stacked against them now that they've just got to get into the playoffs first before we even start to really have this discussion.
That's fair. That's fair. And so then let me change up the focus a little bit here. If they can't do it, Big Perk, you two guys and the whole crew on NBA Today are going to be sitting there with Malika in L.A., and you're going to have all sorts of commentary. And I'm going to have Stephen A. and Michael and Jalen. What are we going to say about them? What will the fallout be for Brooklyn? Where is the pressure on the Nets if this thing doesn't work this year, Big Perk? What are we going to say?
It's going to come down to you-know-who, Kyrie Irving. Because the reason that they lost James Harden is because of Kyrie Irving. And so now you're going to have a decision to make. And it's not just going to come from Sean Marks and Steve Nash, but it's going to come from Kevin Durant. How long are you going to deal with Kyrie Irving and all the extra baggage that he has with him? That's what it's going to come down to. If you're going to point the finger at anybody, you're going to point the finger at Kyrie Irving. That's the reason James Harden left. And if the Nets don't succeed, if the Nets happen not to make the playoffs or get a first-round exit, that's the person I'm pointing the finger at. It's Kyrie. Yeah.
I imagine if they lose to the Sixers in a first-round scenario after making that trade. What do you think, Zach? What does the fallout look like if this thing it would have to be one of the truly spectacular failures in NBA history, and at least one way of looking at it, if it does result in a play-in exit or a first-round exit, what does the fallout look like?
Well, they're already the greatest theoretical team maybe in the history of sports, the James Harden version that we got to see for a hot second. Perk nailed it. The biggest story that nobody is talking about, and I don't know why we're not talking about this, is Kyrie Irving has a player option for next season. He could be a free agent if he wants to be. What team is Kyrie Irving going to be on next year? What do the Nets actually want? Do they want him to opt in so they kick the can a year? Do they want him to opt out and try and sign him to like a two-year deal so they don't commit long-term? Like, there's a world in which he's not on the team next year. I actually think he'll probably be back, but I don't know what the heck is going to happen. And if they implode after this season, yeah, it goes down as one of the greatest failures in sports history, considering what they traded. But I think the much more likely scenario is those three guys come back next year with an offseason, with a training camp, and this becomes more about next year as make or break instead of this year. But they better hope that that's the scenario they get.
Big Perk, give me a quick final thought.
Greeny.
Yeah.
Greeny, here's the thing. Kyrie Irving is the type of person that will sink the whole ship because he can't be the captain.
That's a really interesting way of putting it. I know what you mean, and I think everyone understands what you mean. All right, both of you guys, stay put. We will have much more hoops with the two of you as this show continues this morning. But there's another enormous story in the NFL, as you are well aware. The days are tick, tick, ticking away in Green Bay, and still no word on the future from and of Aaron Rodgers. Now, I want to take you back to the middle of this week when the Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst was asked if he has a handshake agreement with Rodgers that he would trade him this offseason if that's what Rodgers said he wants. And Gutekunst told our Rob Domofsky that was not something I told him. Again, I think the whole conversation with Aaron last season before he came back was that regardless, at the end of this past season, we would sit down as a group and we would work it out one way or another. And we talked about this at some length yesterday, that it is not as simple as whatever Aaron wants, he immediately gets. And our football crew today, outstanding with Kmart, Mike T, and Damian Woody. And Mike, I'll start with you. For people who are just joining us here that might be wondering, well, what does a day here, a day there make any difference right now? It makes a difference, Mike, and tell them why.
Every day matters right now because every team has the most amount of money to spend as we get to the league year, and negotiations really heat up at the combine, which is next week. So for his teammates, Aaron Rodgers' teammates that have non-guaranteed money, players like Billy Turner, Preston Smith, Randall Cobb, every day matters in terms of will they be with Green Bay, are they going to run it back, or are they going to blow the whole thing up? So Aaron Rodgers is being selfish right now. He should just tell the team what he's going to do. Earlier, D. Wood said there's momentum building towards him returning. I agree with that. If that's the case, just let the world know so they can rewrite all these contracts. If you're moving on, they could release these players so they could go maximize their value. So Aaron Rodgers knows what he's going to do at this point. He's being selfish by not telling people, and he could be taking dollars out of his teammates' pocket.
Matt, that's a really interesting point, and I think it is imperative that we make sure the audience is aware. There's nothing preventing him from doing that, and to be, he doesn't need to let the world know, but by letting the Packers know, it would at least begin this process. And to be clear, there is nothing that is keeping him from making that decision yesterday, much less today, right?
Absolutely. It's all he has to do, Greeny, is say, hey, I want to rework my contract, come back. And remember, the New Orleans Saints did this for 4 years with Drew Brees. He came back. They kept pushing out the cap charges. When you look at these contracts, they have a lot of flexibility to Green Bay's credit. So the pen is in Aaron Rodgers' hands. All he has to do is write down what he wants to do, and they could go execute a plan. And candidly, if I was Green Bay, if he was coming back, I'd go fly and see Davante Adams and try to do a 5 or 6 year deal with him to give us the lowest possible cap number to bring back as much of this nucleus as possible.
Yeah, Adams 30 years old and very much a candidate right now for the franchise tag. So, D. Wood, as a longtime former player yourself who you know, found himself in almost every circumstance an NFL player can be in, what do you think of this?
Well, listen, I agree with Mike T in what he said. I think Aaron Rodgers, if Aaron Rodgers wanted to be back with the Green Bay Packers, there's nothing stopping him from doing it right now. And I think the key thing that Mike T said was that at this junction in the offseason, deals are getting made. Like, deals get made behind the scenes, especially with the combine coming up. And I know that Green Bay wants to get things going now. And so what is stopping Aaron Rodgers? You know what the hell you want to do. You know where the hell you want to be at. Like, so why don't you verbalize it? But I've continually said I feel like the momentum is with the Green Bay Packers, with the moves they've been making as far as, you know, the quarterback coach and kind of capitulating to Aaron Rodgers as far as bringing guys in that he wants to play with throughout the season. I think the momentum is swinging that way. He just needs to make a damn decision.
Yeah. And again, there's nothing stopping him from telling anyone he wants to what that decision is. So, Kimberly Martin, I was a journalism major. I can't get inside his head. You were a psychology major, so you can. What's he doing? Like, what is the reason for holding all of this up? And because we are talking about the very real impact it's having.
Greeny, sometimes you just want to feel wanted, right? You just want to know that you have options, right? That everybody still desires you. What we've said on this show is that it doesn't matter that Gutekunst didn't agree to work out a trade if Aaron wanted it. We've talked about how the ball is in Aaron Rodgers' court. He has the Packers right where he wants them because he could easily come out and say, I'm coming back. We saw his foot on the internet. We've heard about his whatever treatments and cleansing treatments. We heard about it all. Except where the man wants to be, right? So, relationship 101 to me is you can't buy enough jewelry or Jordans to convince somebody to stay if they don't want to stay. So Aaron Rodgers, it ultimately is his decision. So I don't care how cool Gutekunst looks at the podium saying, yeah, we got this under control. He's playing on Aaron's terms. That's the reality.
That's the situation right now, and as Mike T said, every minute, every day that goes by does make at least some real difference. We'll continue to follow it for you. In the meantime, did you see what Russell Wilson did this week? He made a fascinating change on social media. This is sneaky big news, and it could be way bigger than you think. Plus, it's go time for James Harden in Philly tonight. How much more feared does the beard make the Sixers in the East? We're answering that question as we get up with you on ESPN. Hey, get up, Chicago. It's time for your wake-up call, courtesy of DeMar DeRozan.
It's DeMar DeRozan time. Let's see if they double-team him, get the ball out of his hands. DeRozan fires for the lead.
Captain's finest does it again. Oh, my goodness. I told you, DeMar DeRozan time.
DeMar with the big shot in the fourth again.
DeMar DeRozan is the real deal.
He was 15 of 21 from the floor last night. He's the fifth player in the last 50 years with 300 points and 60% shooting over an eight-game span. And look at the others on your screen. And as you'll notice, only one of them, Jordan, one of the years, didn't win MVP. I'm telling you right now, DeMar DeRozan's name is in the middle of that conversation. The Bulls are on top of the Eastern Conference. All right, back to the NFL we go. And the debut of a new feature. Oh, I love it. It is called Kimberly's Court. She is the queen, and she will now rule. Kimberly, Kmart, what have you got for us today?
Greeny, I am so excited for the Aaron Rodgers saga to officially end. The waiting game is to see where he's going. That needs to come to an end, and I cannot wait. Stay in Green Bay? Cool. Go somewhere else? Wonderful. Just make a decision so I can stop talking about your toes and your enemas and your cleanses and all that stuff. Besides Aaron Rodgers, though, here's something else. Bruce Arians trying to convince me and everybody else that Blaine Gabbert is actually the answer to Tom Brady. We're not buying it. I get that Bruce has to say it. It's February. This is lying season. You got to say whatever you got to say. But I want to see how the Bucks actually do intend to replace Tom Brady, the GOAT. That's big. Now, Grady, the thing that I am most excited for, though, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Honestly, just move me to Pittsburgh now. I'm the Ohio correspondent, but just get me to Pittsburgh because this entire situation is fascinating. Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season, and now he's got to replace Ben Roethlisberger. He wins with backup QBs. Imagine what he could do with Russell Wilson. And you've got Brian Flores, who, oh, by the way, is suing the NFL and is overqualified for the job he was just hired for. It's delicious in Pittsburgh.
It is. He's the most overqualified coach for his role in the history of the sport. That said, he should be able to add a lot for that team. But the quarterback piece is the most interesting. And you mentioned Russell Wilson. I need to show everybody what happened this week, okay? So I want to put Russell Wilson's Twitter avatar on the screen. If you go to Russell Wilson's Twitter page right now, that's the picture you will see as his avatar. That's him as a prep school player in Virginia. But last week, And up for the basically the last long period of time, up until just a few days ago, this was the avatar that you would see on Russell Wilson's Twitter page. Of course, him in a Seattle Seahawks uniform, the only one he's worn as an NFL player all this time. And yes, Kimberly, he always says, go Hawks. So Kmart, you are my relationship expert, among other things. What should I be making of the fact that Russell Wilson has changed his avatar and it no longer demonstrates him as a Seahawk?
I think if you are an athlete, you have to understand that anything you do on social media is going to draw attention. You have to know that, especially in 2022. And especially if you're Russell Wilson, where there's been a list of five teams that you would have been interested in playing for last offseason. All of this, it's smoke. And we're left to wonder, is there fire as well? Some people don't think that he actually will leave Seattle, but he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and there are a lot of QB needy teams. You mentioned his Richmond, Virginia upbringing. Washington clearly is in need of a quarterback, and like I said, the Pittsburgh Steelers, him and Tomlin would be such a great pairing.
All right, so D. Wood, let me come to you. You're a football expert because you played football. I'm an expert in one thing, and that is passive-aggressive behavior. And so that is the way I read what Russell Wilson is doing here. There is no more passive-aggressive way to tell the world you're unhappy in your situation than changing your Twitter avatar and saying nothing about it. What do you read into that move, D. Wood?
Well, Greeny, that's what these cats do nowadays. You know, back in the day, you know, it was like you put your house up for sale. But now, you know, now these cats, they go out here and they scrub their social media, the team, change their avatars to kind of give these subtle notices that, hey, I'm not happy, or, you know, it's time for a change. So although I said early in the show, I believe Russell Wilson would go back to Seattle. Man, just make it known what you want to do. Stop tap dancing around the whole issue. You know you don't want to be back in Seattle. So just let it be known that you're trying to get the hell up out of there so we can have more to talk about. Because trust me, if that happens, oh, we're going to be popping it off on Get Up. I can tell you that.
So Mike T, now you're the GM of the Steelers, who happens to be Kevin Colbert, who is retiring after the draft, or any other team in Washington or any other that needs a quarterback. You see that Russell Wilson has changed his Twitter avatar. I can't believe I'm asking this question. But does that draw you to immediately call Seattle and see what you can get done?
1,000%. And here's why. Any of those teams, Washington, Pittsburgh, they are instant Super Bowl contenders with those respective defenses and Russell Wilson. And when we consider, Green, that there's going to be up to 12 teams that need starting quarterbacks, and candidly, there are some intriguing prospects in this year's draft, but candidly, more questions than the answers, especially short term. Russell Wilson's value is sky high, and you cannot overpay greatness. And if you have a reasonable chance to get to a conference championship game or the Super Bowl, you just pay the bill.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch. And Wilson is a person who, you know, he's so conscious of his image that the longer he goes without explaining why he changed his avatar, the more interesting I think it becomes.
Speaking of interesting, it's complicated on Facebook.
Exactly right. By the way, our next UFC fight night is tomorrow from the Apex in Vegas. The prelims start at 4 Eastern, followed by the main card at 7 on ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Coming up here, Dak and the Cowboys are a win-now team, but they have some decisions coming soon that could leave them looking much different. We'll explain what those are, and here we go. Zach Lowe is ready, and Sneaky Hembo has a question for him. Who was the last player to win a scoring title and an NBA title in the same season? That's the question. Zach Lowe takes his shot at the answer. Next, you are watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're back on Get Up, and let's do a little quick fix in the NFC East. Let's pick every team. D. Wood, how do we fix the New York Football Giants?
Man, we keep talking about the same group with this team, but the offensive line. Like, they've invested pieces into the offensive line, but that group still hasn't been able to get it done. Former GM Dave Gettleman tried to get it done. It still hasn't happened. So that's got to be priority number one. You can't get a true evaluation on Daniel Jones until they get that group up front fixed.
Yeah, they've got two high picks in the draft, and there's a bunch of linemen sitting there. We'll see if they do. At Tannenbaum, how do we fix the Washington Commanders?
The three W's, they need Greeny, a frontline quarterback. Give me Russell Wilson. Give me Jameis Winston. Give me Deshaun Watson. I need a frontline quarterback to go with this great defense. One of those three guys could lead us to the playoffs.
I like it. Kmart, let's go to Philly. How do we fix the Eagles?
Greeny, it's not changing the quarterback. It's actually getting defensive help, namely at safety, linebacker, edge. This is a defense that does not generate enough sacks or takeaways on the back end. I think as a unit, the secondary had 12 interceptions last year. Trayvon Diggs had 11, I believe, on his own in Dallas.
And then Mike T, last up, those Dallas Cowboys. How do we fix them?
Discipline. How about this, courtesy of Hembo? They had 153 penalties, Green. That's 10 more than any team. They had 69 on offense. That is unacceptable. Mike McCarthy, give us a detailed plan on how we're going to reduce the penalties. Self-inflicted wounds hurt this team dramatically last year.
I like that. You've said that many times here. Give us a detailed plan on how you're going to do your job as the head coach of a football team that you've already been for the last 2 years with us. I get it. That said, Mike T, they may have a more immediate problem in Dallas, and you were the one who were bringing this to our attention, and I think we have a graphic that demonstrates it. The Dallas Cowboys have a bunch of names you know that they're going to have a very tough time bringing back.
That's right, Greeny. They have really tough decisions. When we think about guys like Amari Cooper, DeMarcus Lawrence, Lael Collins, they all have really big salaries that are non-guarantees. And because of it, I would expect maybe a player like Lawrence not to be there. Because as you can see, Greeny, they could save $19 million. And because the draft is loaded at defensive end, when you look at Todd McShay and Mel Kiper's boards, drafting 24th, they could replace him. So even though maybe they'd like to move on from somebody like Zeke Elliott, his $12 million salary is fully guaranteed. So they're stuck with him. And that's why I think their window could have been closing from a standpoint. It's going to be hard to bring everybody back.
Yeah, that contract has turned into a mess. To your point, the only way to get that off their books is if they trade Zeke and the acquiring team takes on all that salary. And that seems about as close to impossible as anything we can imagine. So, Kmart, that might lead some people to ask the question, is the Cowboys' best season now behind them as opposed to in front of them? What's the answer to that?
I wouldn't go that far, but the expectations for Dak is clear. Win a Super Bowl. It is no short of that. And it's not just on him, though. He's got to play better. Mike McCarthy has to coach better. But roster-wise, they've got a good team with a lot of talent, but they still have holes. You've got to bolster this offensive line. You've got to get safety help. You've got to get linebacker edge help. Micah Parsons, we rave about him all the time, but he is coming into his second year, and as dominant as he is, he needs help. So this team, very good, but they do need some depth.
You know, the Dak of it all is interesting to me, and Diana Russini was making this point here yesterday, that this is the first offseason that Dak can really focus on his business. It was all about his contract all those years. Then last year he was rehabbing, coming back from the terrible injury. This year is really his year, and while we have focused so much on the pressure on the coaches, and in particular the head coach, how about the pressure on Dak to get it done this season, D. Wood?
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. You know, you got the contract out of the way. You know, he's going to be a year removed from that lower leg injury. So the excuses are, you know, they're not there anymore. And so when you play for a team like the Dallas Cowboys, all the attention are going to be on you, in particular at the quarterback position. And Dak is making a ton of money. And with that type of responsibility, there are expectations. So Dak Prescott, you know, he might be the one player that had the, you know, outside of Baker Mayfield, I should say, probably had the most pressure on him in the National Football League.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. Going to be another interesting offseason in Dallas. Guys, stay close. Much more football as we go. But to the NBA is my next stop. I got the guys ready to go. We're talking about the Lakers, who start their ceremonial second half of the season tonight with a lot of questions. They have really struggled. They've had injury problems and more. They're currently ninth in the Western Conference. Now, here's how it begins. They get three straight home games, and that starts tonight here on ESPN. We'll have them against the Clippers in the second game of our doubleheader. They're currently 6.5 games behind the 6-seed Nuggets. So LeBron and company have a bunch of work to do if they want to avoid the play-in tournament. As I bring Big Perk and Zach Lowe back in here, and Zach will get your trivia answer in a moment. But let's start with the Lakers. And the question is this, pretty simply, Big Perk. LeBron is your guy. I know how much you would love and admire him, and he has been playing great. What can he realistically do? What can LeBron carry this Laker team to the rest of this season and into the playoffs?
A first-round exit. Granny, look, we saw during All-Star weekend LeBron James smiling and playing with such joy, happy to be back in Cleveland. We haven't saw him smile that much since the Space Jam movie. And the fact of the matter is this. LeBron James knows that this team is not really good. He knows that the way that the Western Conference is, far as those top three or four teams that are in the West, AD being out, LeBron knows that they're not going anywhere. He's a guy that is all about facts and the truth. So the fact of the matter is he's going to finish up strong. The only bright spot about the Lakers is that he probably passed up Kareem this season for the all-time leading scorer in NBA history. That's the only thing good coming from the Lakers.
You know, and let's, Zach, just very quickly, for the fans who maybe have been sort of knee-deep in football and are now starting to really pay more attention, the Lakers began this season as the favorites to win the Western Conference. And the highest profile thing that has gone wrong, well, I guess the two, are that Anthony Davis has been hurt, which he generally tends to be, and that the Russell Westbrook experiment, if you will, just has not worked. How would you describe why things have gone so badly for a Laker team that began the season with great promise?
The Russ fit has been a disaster on both ends of the floor. And this team won a title and made its bones on defense. On playing big and playing great defense. And gradually, through trade after trade, through free agent defection or decision with Alex Caruso after decision, they lost a lot of their 3-and-D identity. They lost a lot of their defensive toughness. It's just been a perfect storm of lots of different stuff going against this team. Look, if you have LeBron and AD healthy and you're in the playoffs and you can put some shooting around them, and they have some shooting, Malik Monk has been the third best player on the team, you're still scary. But I agree with Perk. If everything goes right for this team, and by the way, Anthony Davis is out for a while now, I just don't see anything better than a first-round exit for them.
Now, I mean, if you made the point earlier today, playing themselves out of the play-in tournament seems next to impossible considering how much room they'd have to make up. So even if they get out of the play-in, you're staring at either Phoenix or Golden State in that first round of the playoffs, and it's next to impossible to imagine them winning a series there. Let me go back to the East. We opened this hour with you two guys talking about the Brooklyn Nets. They were one of the two teams involved in the blockbuster trade a couple of weeks ago, one of the biggest trades we've seen in any sport in a really long time. So, Big Perk, the Sixers tell us that we will see James Harden tonight for the first time on the floor with Joel Embiid. What are the Sixers now that they have these two stars in the Eastern Conference?
Well, they're my favorite to win the Eastern Conference. Look, Greeny, when you put two guys, two MVP caliber players together, a guard and a big, the way that these guys are capable of getting buckets, and both of these guys are capable of drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line, it's almost impossible to stop them. And imagine putting these two in a high pick and roll, whether Embiid is rolling to the basket. James Harden put so much pressure on the defense, those contested looks that Embiid was getting throughout the course of this season, they're going to be uncontested. Those contested jump shot mid-post areas, they're going to be uncontested too. So at the end of the day, James Harden has shown us that he's not afraid to transition or change his game from being a scorer to a facilitator. And he showed us time and time again that he's capable of being the best point guard in the NBA. He showed us that last year.
And Embiid right now might be the favorite to win the MVP. Or if the season ended this minute, he probably would win the MVP. So he's mm-hmm. been playing that well. Zach, how about the fit? I love talking to you about things like this in longer form on the radio and stuff like that. It's a fascinating little experiment they've got going there. What is your prediction for the fit between those two stars?
I think it'll be fine. Look, there are going to be some hiccups to iron out. Like, Embiid is not a rim-running, lob-catching center, the kind that Harden has really thrived with and preferred to play with. What is James Harden going to be doing when Embiid, the best post player in the NBA, has all those post-ups? Is he going to just stand around? Is he going to be an active part of the offense? We can focus on all that stuff, but the fact remains, these are two supernova talents on offense who should make each other better, even if it's not seamless. The offense is going to be fine. Like Perk said, they're going to live at the foul. You're going to have to watch Sixers games. You're going to have to record them and fast forward through the free throws. There's going to be too many free throws. Defensively, I think mm-hmm. there'll be some issues with, does Harden still get to switch? Embiid's not a switch guy. But the bottom line is, the talent is the talent. They're going to be awesome.
Okay, one more piece of business for you guys, and I'm making a decision. I'm just making a unilateral decision that because I like seeing Hembo be disappointed. Not only Zach, but Big Perk, you also can take a crack at the trivia question here. But Zach, I will start with you. Who is the last player in the NBA to win a scoring title and the NBA championship in the same season? Zach, you're first.
I have a bad feeling about this. I have a bad feeling. At first, I thought Steph Curry, but I actually don't think they won it when he's won the scoring title. Then LeBron has not won many scoring titles, like one or two. Kobe won his when the Lakers were mediocre. Is it possible that I'm actually going to guess all the way back to Michael Jordan? MJ, that's my guess.
Okay, I'd like to guess before we reveal the answer. Big Perk, how about you?
I'm going with Zach on that one. I think it's Michael Jordan for sure.
There is one more recent one, Zach, that we missed, and that was Shaquille O'Neal in 2000.
Wow!
Shaq led the league in scoring, won the MVP, and won the NBA championship. You're giving it up for Hembo there. Ah, this disappoints me. There's going to be no living with Hembo.
Beautiful. That's
for the
a
rest
great
of this
question.
Day. Guys, awesome having you all morning long. Thank you so much, and we'll see you as we get into a busy basketball weekend. Meanwhile, a pair of former Alabama quarterbacks are under the microscope for different reasons, why the Dolphins are fully Tua's team, and why Mac Jones needs not to be so sweet. Answers upcoming. Let's get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we got great college basketball coming your way tomorrow here. Number 1 ranked Gonzaga playing its first true road game against a ranked team, taking on number 23 St. Mary's. That's 10 Eastern on ESPN. We have the second ranked team in the country, Arizona, also on the floor, heading to Colorado, take on the Buffaloes, who are 18-10. It's a Pac-12 matchup. It'll be on ESPN2 tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And we have number 3 Auburn traveling to Knoxville, taking on Tennessee, who's 17 in the country. You can catch that battle in the SEC on ESPN at 4 o'clock Eastern. So a really awesome day of college basketball. Look, March Madness is right around the corner. In total, 8 top 10 teams are on the road tomorrow. That's tied for the second most on the road in a single day ever. The only day with more was January 10th, 1976. So make sure you check out all the action tomorrow as we get set for the big dance here at ESPN. All right, back to the NFL. Time for a game we will call Woody's Word. So, D. Wood, I want you to give me one word you would use to describe these young quarterbacks, starting with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Greeny, how about composed? I mean, listen, that's the one thing we saw, particularly in the playoffs, with Joe Burrow. This is a guy, I believe, combined with the postseason, was sacked over 70 times, but was still, you know, he never got rattled. Never got rattled at any point. This guy would continue to go out there and make plays, particularly to his wide receivers. He's just very composed.
How about Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert. Surgical. This man is just a surgeon out there on the field, whether it's inside the pocket, outside the pocket. He has one of the most deadliest arms that we have in our league today. And, I mean, this dude is just pinpoint accurate anywhere on the field. One of our truly great quarterbacks in this league. And with Tua, I'm going with suspect. You know, this guy, he's not the biggest guy. He doesn't, you know, he's not the most athletic. He gets hurt a lot. And you just, there's questions out there, you know, whether this guy is truly a franchise quarterback. And, you know, new coach Mike McDaniel's going to have to figure this out. But I have a lot of questions about whether, you know, Tua is a guy that can truly lead that Miami Dolphins franchise to the next level.
Now, you're not alone in that. Now, speaking of Tua, they have the new coaching staff there. And Darrell Bevell, who's been around forever, is the quarterback's coach. And he said the first thing is to get him ingrained in the system. Once we're able to do that, then I think the system is going to be built and tailored to him and bring out all the positives in his game. So, Mike T, going back to the evaluation and to your everlasting credit, you were one of those who had real questions about him coming in, and you repeatedly said you would have taken Justin Herbert ahead of him, but that's water under the bridge in Miami. What are the positives? What should that offense look like if they're going to build it around his skill set? And can he elevate to where he will prove worthy of having been drafted where he was?
I don't think he'll ever be proved worthy of being a top five pick. And to D. Wood's point, he has athletic deficiencies. So what he can do well is he's accurate short and underneath. He's has good anticipation, and they have to get the ball out of his hands quickly because as the pocket compresses, that exacerbates his weakness. So it has to be a quick passing game, which does play to his strengths.
When you talk to people around the league, Kmart, what is the sense you get of the impression of Tua?
I mean, Greeny, the reality is he just hasn't lived up to the hype. And when you talk to defensive coordinators, it's his arm doesn't scare them. It's not that they go into game plans like, oh, we've got to keep Tua in the pocket because he may test us deep. I mean, he's one of three quarterbacks over the last two seasons who average fewer than 10 yards per completion over the last two seasons. Alex Smith and Ben Roethlisberger are the other two. Like, that's not great company to be in. And he's got to at least get on the same page with Mike McDaniel very quickly for this offense to take off.
D. Wood, is this a make-or-break season in your mind for him? He came in so hyped. You know, they have chosen him over other options in a variety of circumstances, and the person who made that decision is still there. Is this a make-or-break here for Tua?
I do. I think it is. And you know, I pointed out the physical deficiencies. He just does. There's nothing about him that really scares you. I mean, he did well when you talk about the RPO game, you know, because it forced you to go out there and make quick decisions. But outside of that, you know, you're talking about a limited athlete with an average arm that's not going to scare anyone. So they're going to have to, you know, get a system, put a system around him that's going to accentuate his strengths. But it's got to happen this year, or I think the Miami Dolphins are going to try to move in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. He is a member of what I call the Alabama trifecta. Once upon a time, three quarterbacks were on that team at the same time. He was one of them. Jalen Hurts was another. And the third is Mac Jones, who's now in the same division as Tua. And let's talk about Mac for a minute here. After leading the Patriots to the playoffs and finishing second for Offensive Rookie of the Year behind Ja'Marr Chase, he'll play his sophomore season with a new offensive coordinator after Josh McDaniels left for Vegas. And so a lot of questions about whether he can elevate. But Kmart, you're in, right? There's a lot of things you've seen and maybe more importantly heard from him this offseason that you like.
Yeah, Greeny. Mac is one of us. Once I saw him try to hit the gritty at the Pro Bowl, and once I heard him talk about how he's got to cut down on the ice cream, I felt like, all right, Mac, you and I have something in common. I feel like now I can ride, like I'm all in on Mac Jones in 2022. Here's the thing. He is literally what we expected, right? He was a guy that was going to come into the league, be one of the most pro-ready guys. He was going to, you knew he could read defenses. You know he could process quickly. And that's something that you can't say for some of the veteran quarterbacks in the league. So he will take another step. He will get better. He will be a very good QB. The question, though, is the ceiling. Will Mac Jones ever have that wow factor where you watch a Joe Burrow, you watch a Justin Herbert? That, Greeny, remains to be determined.
That's exactly right. He had the highest floor, and he has lived up to that. And he had a terrific season. Yeah. All credit in the world to him and everyone there. The question is there another gear he can take this to? Because if there is, then he should have been drafted much higher than he was as the fifth quarterback taken in the first round. So, Mike T, that's the question. Your buddy Rex Ryan never stops saying here on the air he needs to get bigger, mostly like in his legs and stuff like that, which is where the strength comes from when you throw the football, and he needs to increase his arm strength. Does Mac Jones have another gear he can take this to, Mike?
Yes, he does. And I agree with Rex from a standpoint, he has to be built to last, and that's from the waist down. He does not have an NFL body yet. He needs a big offseason to get stronger. That will give him more durability, more arm strength. And then the other thing, Greeny, is take a page from the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen was an ascending player. Mm-hmm. They got Stephon Diggs, and that helped him become a superstar. The Patriots need a bona fide number one outside difference-making receiver. That will help Mac Jones, as well as a great offseason program.
I don't know if Jarvis Landry would check that box for you, but that is one of the names I've had suggested here on the show. Quickly, this week, I should say. D-Wood, quickly, your thoughts. Mac Jones, can he go to a new level in New England? Because if so, they could be trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big believer in Mac Jones. I just think that his ceiling is not as high as some other young quarterbacks. But, you know, I agree with Mike T. Get him another a true bona fide weapon on the outside. His game will jump to the next level.
I agree. He obviously doesn't have the same level as Zach Wilson, as you and I both know well. But we can all hope. There's a decidedly Jets feel on the panel today, by the way, as I look across the screen. And I hear, candidly, I'm here for it. As we roll on, we got First Take coming up at the top of the hour. Ben Simmons getting a crash course in shot making. James Harden making his debut tonight. Stephen A. Molly and Big Perk talking about it. First Take, top of the hour here on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, I'll be back here tonight for our NBA doubleheader, and it should be fun. We've got Miami, which has been the best team in the East pretty much all year, taking on the Knicks in our first game. That's 7:30 Eastern, and it's followed by the battle for L.A. LeBron and the Lakers, they need to get something done out West. They'll play tonight, 10 Eastern. We'll start your coverage with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern. That's tonight here on ESPN and the ESPN app. And as far as our crew today, I can think of no better way to leave it for the week. Once again, Kmart, that on the left there, that's Jeff Saturday, doing a TikTok in Iceland. What do you think?
Look at Jeff. Look at the little hip action. Oh, I love it.
How do you like to dance, D-Wood?
But I don't believe it, though. I don't believe it yet. We got to see it in person.
What do you think, D-Wood?
I mean, his TikTok is better than my TikTok, so shout out to Jeff. We need to hook up one of these times during his pancake segment and have a little dance off.
I like it. Mike T, have a wonderful weekend. Everybody, thank you so much for getting up with us all week here. We got great basketball action coming this weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.